Ahead of the launch of the UNESCO Biosphere Isle of Man Awards for 2024, we had a roundtable chat with the 2023 award winners about their commitment to our biosphere and a sustainable future. Well, hello and welcome to another Biosphere podcast. And again, we are around the table with all of the Biosphere Award winners for 2023 to talk about Biosphere Isle of Man, talk about some of the awards, the importance of the awards, and indeed what biosphere might actually mean for not just for individuals and organisations, but for the Isle of Man and more broadly in a global scale as well. So without further ado, I think perhaps the best thing is we'll go around the table to introduce ourselves so we all know who we are, and then we'll hear more about the awards and more about the actual biosphere. So if I start just on my right to start off, we have Brisha.
First am I, Howard. I'm Brisha. I work for UNESCO Biosphere Isle of Man, so I did not win an award, but I might be speaking about the Environment Award in Jay Reid's place today.
First am I. I'm Aileen Clegg, and I represent the Bunskal Gilgach, and we won the Education Award.
Lovely.
First am I. I'm Lynn Merriman. I represent Manx Bootits, and we won the UNESCO Award in Enjoyment.
At the far end of the table?
First am I. My name's Jason Buckley. I'm the Facilities Manager and Head of Sustainability for Zurich International.
Marvellous. Michelle?
First am I. I didn't win an award. However, I did, on behalf of DEFA, chair up the judging panel and then helped talk everyone through the awards as well. So we've talked through the nominations and announced the winners, which was great.
Fast my Howard. I'm Greg Easton, Managing Director of Ravenscroft. We won the award for economy.
And?
Yes, I'm Stuart McKenzie. I'm the President of the Queenspere Restoration Trust, normally just called QPRT. We won the award for engagement.
It's all the ease. We all know who we are now. So Biosphere Isle of Man, it's been around for a few years now. I think it is generally a well-conceived name and hopefully a well-conceived concept. We perhaps just start with you, Michelle. Can you give us just a brief overview of how it came about and what the concept was with Biosphere Isle of Man?
Yeah, so I mean, we often trot out, don't we, that the Isle of Man is the only whole nation biosphere. And indeed it is, and it's run on the principles of man and the biosphere. So it's about conservation and it's about learning and it's about sustainable development. So nothing that biosphere does is intended to stop our growth as a nation, but it is intended to very carefully manage the beautiful environment that we've got around us. So in order to do that, we kind of take a holistic approach to it that focuses basically on the five E's. And so you'll have heard each of the award categories that have come up, although we added energy in as well. Mm-hmm. So there should be six now, I think. And originally these awards came from the energy awards that were done within DfE, and so they've migrated across to DEFA with Biosphere. But it means now we get to talk about a wider picture, we get to talk about economy and we get to talk about education. So we're dragging other things in and recognising that enjoyment that everyone takes from the environment around us is really sort of a critical part of it. And it's brilliant because it gives us a great way of sharing good practice. So it's not just the nominations that win that are important, but all of those nominations that come through, they all get read out and there's all discussion about what's going on, and you form those links between different people who are interested in taking the sustainable journey to actually spread that good practice. And that's part of what Biosphere is about, sharing that good practice and making sure that everyone can be involved at the level that suits their business or their organisation and that they feel comfortable with that.
And I must admit, it's always a wonderfully joyous occasion when we have the award ceremony down at the Manx Museum. And I'm always amazed at the sort of the networking, which is sort of quietly going on behind the scenes in many ways.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because I've been involved for a couple of years now, and you see people that had applied and not got through the 1 year, but they'll come back and they'll have another bite at it. And they'll say, and it's obviously whatever you're up against in your category, which you can't predict what anyone else is doing. But I always applaud the people that actually take the time to sit down and write down what we're doing. Lots of us do the right thing, but wouldn't necessarily sit down and document it. And I think as human beings, we all struggle sometimes to just promote ourselves and what we're doing and what we've achieved. So it's brilliant that people take the time and the effort to try and share that good practice. But you're right, the networking that goes on before and after the event and the little conversations, and you see people exchanging business cards and setting up, I'll come down and see you and let me see how you've done whatever it is. That's really, really valuable stuff. And it's part of what makes the community on the Isle of Man just so powerful when it works together like that.
Absolutely, and I think that's the whole thing with biosphere. I think a lot of people think it's just about sustainability and, you know, solar panels and how we live and green power and such like, which it is to a large degree, there's a lot of that, but it's also about how we live, how we engage with the environment, the cultural importance of our landscape as well, and that's reflected very much by some of the people around the table here today, Eilean, Captain McKenzie with the Queen's Pier, and of course the Blue Tits with the wonderful swimming, which I think everyone knows, it's such a well-known name now, it's and makes everyone smile. Let's go around and hear a little bit more about some of these individual achievements then. So we may as well go around the table. I think that makes it easier. We go around in the same sort of way. So we start perhaps with, they're all E's, so we just get our E's the right way around. Education to start off with, and Eilean Clegg's here from the Bunskill Gilgach. Well, you're involved in education, of course, but this is something, it is actually engaging the children in this concept of sustainable living?
That's right, yeah. I mean, we're important for the biosphere as a school anyway, because it's where you can find Manx Gaelic being spoken naturally in the wild. But we also try and have a strong environmental component in all of our curricular work. And last year we did a project which was from field to plate, where we went to visit a farm where they were using natural methods of trying not to cut the grass and make sure the root systems were long and they had really healthy soil. So we went and did soil analysis there. And then we grew our own food. And then finally we had a biosphere bee picnic where we cooked and served our vegetables and salads and things. So that was our last year's project.
And do the children, do they sort of buy into this? Do you need to sort of give them a gentle nudge, or is it something that which they engage with straight away?
Well, I think they're always excited to be outdoors and they understand the messages. Obviously, they're also being bombarded with lots of other messages about, you know, what's the latest toy to buy. And it's very difficult for a child to make a choice that's based purely on ethics. But it's good that they're getting other messages and not just materialistic ones.
And of course, I think there's sort of some vegetable growing and sort of doing the composting and such like, all this element as well. So, which is a great sort of great skill to set early on and get people interested in that sort of aspect of living, I suppose.
That's right. They understand the processes. They understand where food comes from. They understand what happens to organic matter and all that kind of thing, yeah.
And you're quite right. I sort of, It's got a sort of double-edged sword, isn't it, with the Bunskill? Because, as you say, not only have you got the award here for the work there you've been doing over the last year and getting the children interested in this side of life, but also just the very cultural importance of our Manx heritage.
Yes, yes. So I suppose we are very much a biosphere-focused school.
And plans going forward as well?
Yes, we've got a science week coming up before Easter where we're going to decide what we're going to be growing this year and process last year's compost and make sure the pond's in good nick. But one of the things we did off the back of getting the award, Joe suggested that we take the How Wild Is Your Land survey. I don't know if she sent that message out to the other award mm-hmm. winners, which is the Wildlife Trust survey. And that was really interesting. We scored highly enough for our school to feature on the interactive map, but it showed us where our gaps were, and our biggest gap was connectivity. So it's looking at lots of different things you can do about making sure that there's food for wildlife in your outdoor space, and lots of that's to do with benign neglect and the sort of things that would maybe quite upset people, because, you know, leaving things so that there's seeds to eat, and leaving the grass long enough for creatures to hibernate. So that was really interesting. But the connectivity, making sure one bit of land can lead to another and that you're swapping seeds with neighbours and things. So I highly recommend that everybody does that.
It is, and I have had a go of that myself, and I have to say, A, it's very easy to use if you go onto the map, because I thought, I'll probably get stumped at some stage, but it was very easy to use, the interactive map. And yeah, I think I did my garden out at Cronky, and yeah, it scored okay, I think, although there were some spots I could work on.
Yeah.
It has to be said. Bunskill, a very well known name. Blue Tits again, sitting next to you there, Lynn Merriman. A wonder, I mean, it's just such a cracking name. It's not just a Manx organisation, of course, it's no, a UK wide.
It's global.
Worldwide.
Yeah, it's actually global. There's Icelandic Blue Tits, there's Australian Blue Tits. Any way you can think of, really, there is a Blue Tits group.
And what brought you into it? Because obviously people know, oh yes, they're the sort of, depending on your viewpoint, oh yes, it's the ladies who dip into the sea year-round, no matter what the weather, they go in there.
Not just ladies, can I just say.
And it is not just ladies, no. And I think a lot of people do think it is just a female organisation. Yeah. Is it weighted towards the ladies, or is it...
It is, I think, possibly because of that perception, and possibly, I don't know, many reasons, I guess, that we do have many more females than males, but there is more males than there was this time last year as well. So, you know, things are progressing all round.
And you won the award for the E for Enjoyment. Yes. And I think that's clear to anyone who knows anything about the Blue Tits. There's an awful lot of pleasure taken by
Absolutely.
The people who do this. But, of course, it goes beyond that because there's also... I mean, first off, I suppose there's the whole concept of enjoying the environment, enjoying the sea, engaging with the sea and being aware of the environment in which you're dipping.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we kind of go through life thinking, oh, I know all about, you know, moving rubbish, not using single-use plastic, that sort of thing. But when you get more involved in the environment, you notice it more and you just become much more aware. And you also share from other people's experiences as well. And when you're in the sea, it's kind of a natural thing to talk about. And you just pick up so much, really. And then you have your cup of tea and then you pick up some litter and go home.
And I think I was reading there was the little bit of restoration work you'd done. Was that around Port Jack?
We did a... it started off with an idea that there was a lot of graffiti. Mm-hmm. One of our lovely Blue Tits actually took a picture that she sent to her mum, and her mum commented on a rather unsavoury drawing that was behind her head that we hadn't noticed. But then we decided, a group of the girls decided that they would see if they could paint a mural over the top. Got permission from all the relevant agencies and from Blue Tits because we wanted to use their logo. And yeah, beautiful mural painted with some help from one of the ladies from the college. And it's there for all to see. But it really brightens up the area and created a lot of sort of interest as well, I think.
Yeah. And I think the other aspect as well is the sort of this environmental work, this sort of restoration work, this being aware of your environment. You also hear when you speak to any people who do this dipping, whether it's with the Blue Tits, or I know there are other groups on the Isle of Man as well, they always talk about mental well-being and how much better they feel by engaging, whether it's the blue of the sea or engaging with another medium or what it is. But they all say they come out feeling better.
Absolutely. And I've heard so many lovely, lovely messages from people. Things like you see acts of kindness every single day. You see the world from a different angle. The sea also is kind of cathartic in a way. It just makes you more relaxed and you feel comfortable, you feel secure. And the people that you're around, they also feel the same. And you just kind of envelop everybody and you just feel safe, secure and comfortable. People have said that it changed their life. And I think actually it changed my life in that I worry much less about what people think, what I look like on the beach. I have so many... such a wider network of friends and so many different interests, because it just makes you more confident to do other things as well.
And I think that sort of line of leave only footprints sort of sums it up in many ways, isn't it?
Yeah, leave
Could
only
sum up all the biosphere to a degree, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. Leave only footprints, take only memories and rubbish and maybe the odd bit of sea glass.
If we're thinking of Zurich at the far end there, it's a welcome back. It's a welcome back to you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, it's second time award winner for the energy sector.
Yes, I'm absolutely thrilled to have won it again. Obviously, the first time round was for the installation of the renewable power solar array at Zurich, which was great. And then this, obviously, 2023, was based around what it's sort of doing for us, as well as some of the other initiatives that we're doing on site. So a big focus, one of the big sort of CO2 producers for our building, if you like, is electricity consumption. It's a big building, you know, there's a lot of people in there on computers and stuff. So we're driving towards not just throwing some solar panels up and saying, hey, that's our token sort of thing to do, but we've looked at how we can reduce the energy that we're using as well. So it's We installed something called light harvesting through a smart lighting system, which once we read the lighting levels throughout all of the floors, we found out that we've actually got more lights than we need, so we can take them away. So, I mean, that in itself saved us nearly 3 kilowatts of power just by removing things. And then moving lighting so it's more effective for people, so there is it removes glare, so there was a health and safety sort of element, well-being element, if you like, you know. So on our IT department, they've installed more energy efficient monitors, even down to coffee machines, which are more energy efficient, sorry. So there's lots of things going on to reduce what we're producing, as well as the production of solar. So,
and also there was this aspect of sustainability at home introduced this year in the award.
You can actually get an interest-free loan from Zurich to look at installing sort of renewable energy, whether it's solar or heat pumps and stuff like that at home. So Zurich absolutely supports doing that for all of its staff, which is a great city. I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it? Not a lot of people can afford to do that sort of stuff at home, you know. So being able to do that is great.
And I always get the impression, certainly when I hear you talking at the awards ceremony and when we were talking last year, that there appears to be a sort of a great buy-in from the staff at Zurich. It's not just those at the top saying, right, this is what we want you to do. You get the impression people are buying into it.
Absolutely, locally, definitely. I mean, as well as globally. I mean, I'm always having conversations at work. People coming to see me, seeing what the next initiatives are going to be, you know, how we're going to drive it forward. But it comes very much right from the top. Our group CEO is adamant that, you know, sustainability is at the forefront of everything we do. We're just about to relaunch our new green committee, locally on the Isle of Man as well. So that will improve sort of internal and external education of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And the sustainability feeds into a lot of other stuff that we're doing, not just around energy. So because we have quite a large demise, we're increasing the amount of trees and shrubs and bulbs and wildflowers on site. There's a slight offsetting element to it as well, as well as while we're doing that, creating an environment for wildlife, insects. So that's all taken into account as well. So, and we've touched on it as well. I mean, sustainability takes in well-being. You know, so if you're not looking after the people that are working for you, your business isn't going to be very sustainable. So we have the well-being committee at work also, and they're driving a whole agenda of different things throughout the year as well. So it's a really rounded sort of holistic way of looking at the whole.
A sort of a homogenous whole, as it were.
Absolutely,
it's the whole picture. Speaking of homogenous holes, and again, we've got another economy, and of course, we all know everything comes down to money sooner or later, one way or another, or that's the way the world seems to work. And Ravenscroft Isle of Man Limited had the award for economy last year, and this was sustainable prosperity. So this is encouraging people to invest sustainably. Is that the concept?
Yeah, that's right, Howard. And actually, the timing of this podcast is very natural, and that I've just come back from CrossAgs doing the first hedgerow planting of a project with Manx Wildlife Trust up there. So it's a great way to start a working week, being out planting a hedgerow. So great for wellness. And the whole concept for Ravenscroft around sustainable prosperity was really looking at how you. If you're fortunate enough to have capital, whether that's as an individual or as a trustee or a professional looking after it for clients, is that you can invest it sustainably whilst generating return and managing risks. And one of the ways we've been, as an investment business, you tend to come across as being quite a corporate entity, but we've been very keen to show that actually we are part of the biosphere. And one way that we do that is by setting aside 10% of our portfolio management fees for conservation on the island. So being able to I suppose, be really rooted in the biosphere as a investment business is really important for us.
There is always perhaps this feeling that, as you say, international corporations can be faceless. So I suppose it's very important to actually have a sort of local presence, as it were. Is that important to the company?
Yeah, I know it is. And we are, since winning the award, we're actually changing our name. So our new name is Resilience Asset Management. And a part of that is looking at sustainability preferences that everyone has. So everyone on the island will have a slightly different view, and that some might be very much environmentalists, others might believe that technology is going to help with sustainability. Others might be far more concerned around social impact, and some may maybe conservationists and absolutely fine, but still struggle in other areas. So we've looked at that as a business and have developed a process where if you were in Europe now, as an investment manager, you have to ask clients about their sustainability preferences. At the moment on the Isle of Man, it's not a requirement. So we're very much doing it as a best practice, and that's really going to be central to resilience. But where we will engage and work with clients to say, look, how do you want your portfolio to be aligned? Do you want it to be aligned to the Paris Agreement or the Global Biodiversity Framework? Do you want to see assets that are more focused on a circular economic model? Are you wanting to deploy capital towards companies that are focused on a just transition? All of these different elements. And then actually we can use that to shift the way that we invest for clients, so it becomes far more connected and aligned with actually what they want to see in their portfolios, because a lot of the time clients, if you've got a pension, you won't really know what's in there. So that's one of our big aims and goals for this year, and building on the award from last year.
And from the client perspective, are people, again, engaged with this? Because I suppose you might be a cynic, might think, well, if people have got money to invest, if you're lucky enough, as you say, they might think, well, I just want maximum return, end of.
I think they are, and it goes all the way from government down to someone just starting out in their career. We had an inquiry last week from the Treasury Department to ask us what our fossil fuel exposure was on our portfolios. So it's encouraging when you see that engagement. And we talk a lot in Biosphere, but across other forums as well, about it being a public-private partnership. And it feels like, as an island, we're really moving in that direction now, which is really, really encouraging to see.
Our final E is engagement, and Captain Stuart McKenzie is here. And I think there can be a few other projects I can think of with so much engagement and sort of, I think, love now for the Queen's Pier. And this is a film which was made by Reuben Armstrong and Tom Durrant. It's about the Queen's Pier. People, did it really speak to people, do you think, Captain McKenzie? It really made them think about this whole project?
Oh, I'm quite sure that it has done. I think the fact that the restoration is probably the largest community project on the island and certainly needs a lot of money in order to take it forward. I think the other day there was an interview had the project manager saying we needed another £4 million to get to the end of it. If we didn't have a community engagement, then I think it would fail. And the film, of course, covered the phase one operation. So from the start of the Restoration Trust by Tom Durrant, his vision was looking forward, saying that it could be done, despite the fact that a lot of the politicians at the time had said, no, it couldn't. And there were a lot of naysayers. And I think when we got the initial lease, there was looked at from abroad as being something that would fail, so let them get on with it. But in fact, of course, the film registered the fact that in phase one, we were able to repair the entrance building and build or rebuild the first three bays. Now, of course, there's 60 bays altogether, so it's a long way to go. But bearing in mind that the film covered that first phase, the second phase is due to be completed by the end of the summer. So we'll be out to Bay 8 by then. And, of course, then we'll be looking forward to phase three and ever onwards, as they say.
And as you say, this couldn't happen without the community behind it. I mean, that's the vital thing, and I suppose highlighted in the film that brought it very much into the public eye again, and that it is a massive project. I mean, I think a lot of people thought it can't be done. It's being proven that it can be done if you have the will of the community behind it.
Yes, and of course, you have to bear in mind is that it's the work is being carried out completely by volunteers. There are no paid employees at all, so that every penny raised does go towards the operation. I think, however, that the film itself needs to be talked about, because I had an email from Ruben this morning, who told me that it's had 20 showings up to date, not only in the Isle of Man and the UK, but in Ireland and Rotterdam and Budapest, and upcoming we've got Spain and Poland and Romania. Now, this is getting it put out into the world. Now, as we all know, anybody who's gone around the world, just as I have done, that you find there are people who have never heard of the Isle of Man, much less...
True enough.
Much less something like the pier. So the fact that it's being done in that way enlarges the community who know about it.
And it brings us to this whole concept of the biosphere being bigger than individuals or organisations or even just the Isle of Man. We're talking about the whole planet in so many ways. Just briefly, I know we are one short in case anyone was thinking. We were hoping to have Jay Reid with us today from Environment Man Waste Recycling, who had won an award for tailored recycling programmes for businesses and also recycling of plastic bottles. Abrish, I don't know if you can just say a brief word about the work there, because it's a great work being done there.
Yeah, Man Waste Recycling, they, like you just touched on, they do corporate recycling for businesses and companies. And that's obviously, it's a big part of our kind of environmental impact, because even though the biosphere is an environmental project, but it recognises and understands that people have to live, work, play, travel, consume. And so, you know, as much as hard as we all try, we all do consume things. And so what they're doing at Man Waste Recycling is they're making sure that businesses and companies have a reliable way to responsibly manage their waste streams. And yeah, so it's really good. And I know that Jay does tours and things of his company and his establishment, and shows everybody. He crushes things down. I know he's got a big crushing machine in there, and yeah, it's obviously really, really important that we manage our waste in the most effective way possible. And we mentioned the word before, but holistic. I mean, the biosphere is a very holistic project. We look at it across the board, and things are all intrinsically linked. So, yeah, like I say, we all consume, so it has to be dealt with accordingly. And yeah, Jay's won that Environment Award for thinking forward about that. And the island and its infrastructure makes it quite hard to have it. We don't have a recycling plant as such on the island, so he's kind of the man to distribute all of that waste to the right places.
Let's throw a few things open to the table now, so do feel free just to chip in. Don't expect me to ask you by name, so just have a general thought on a few aspects of the biosphere. I was thinking first off, is there a concept that with the biosphere now and hearing about the various plans that we have and the various awards being won here, are we at a crossroads, do you think, when it comes to how we actually live our lives? Obviously, here we are on the Isle of Man, but we're talking about in this the bigger picture. Are we at a crossroads of how we live our lives and how we think about how we live our lives on this planet? Is that what we're trying to sort of get across with projects like the biosphere, how we live sustainably? Anyone on that one?
Go on, I'll pick up.
Go on, brave.
I think when biosphere first happened, I think there was almost a surprise that we got it at the first asking. And I don't think anyone had really made very detailed plans for where it went. But the key to biosphere's success has got to be about engaging the community. And it's got to be about bringing those people together. But if you look at what's happened since biosphere was designated, and we've got to the point of declaring a climate emergency and actually setting ourselves targets and goals and working towards net zero. And let's, you know, not be about the bush. Climate change will be the biggest threat to everything that we know, our entire way of life. And this is just part of that. In fact, it's almost an idea that was almost ahead of its time in some ways, because actually, if you'd got to declaring a climate emergency and then gone for biosphere afterwards, you probably would have understood a little bit more about what the need was. But I think now, I don't think it's a crossroad. I think it's matured. And I think that's the important thing, so that people understand the ethos of biosphere, and they understand how they can be involved and how their decisions are actually having a bigger impact. And so, I don't think there's a choice about which way to go. Absolutely, the Isle of Man's committed to go and renewing its biosphere status and holding on to that. And I know, I'm quite proud of the team, because a lot of the projects on the Isle of Man get held up to other nations and other jurisdictions as being really valuable in terms of how we've approached it and what we've done. So, you know, the Isle of Man is kind of leading the way on a lot of these things.
And where do you think we are on convincing the naysayers then? Because I know, even though I think you're right, I think it has matured, I think we've definitely come a long way. We all know, I'm sure, obviously, all the people around the table here buy into it and are very active in trying to promote a sustainable lifestyle, the way a biosphere can work. But equally, I'm sure we all go on social media, and you don't have to look that far to see everyone saying every day climate change deniers. People say, what difference does it make? Oh, it doesn't matter what we do here on the Isle of Man. It's not going to have any impact on the rest of the world. Where do we feel we are on that? I mean, I'm thinking again, you know, a few years ago, either within regards to investments or even large multinationals, perhaps they wouldn't have particularly cared about sustainability.
I think it does go in cycles, and I think you do see, if you go back to before the Paris Agreement was signed, we did have a period where sustainability was kind of at the forefront of everyone's thinking, and I think there is actually a seasonality to it as well, and sometimes because we're in the biosphere here, we're not as aware of the impacts outside, whereas if you were in Hawaii last year, for example, when that terrible fire ripped through half an island, then I think it really is kind of the impact is absolutely obvious. So I think for people on the island, sometimes we need to come out of the bubble of the Isle of Man to be able to appreciate what we've got. And I think internationally, picking up on the point earlier, we are getting recognised for what we are doing, and that progress is being made. We had some guests on the island last week, and we put them up at Erie Cushlin rather than in a Douglas hotel. And whilst the fog was down for most of the time, when it lifted and they could see the beauty of the island, they really recognised it. And so I think that there still is more to do there to raise what we're doing and to make sure we keep that momentum going, really. And I think all of the award winners and everyone that entered and that growing community of biosphere partners, I think that there is lots and lots of innovation that happens every year. And I think we do need to record what we're doing so we can see where we've come from, but then also have that roadmap of where do we want to get to as an island. And the goals and the promises are great, but it's the delivery of those that's really important to make that impact.
Mm-hmm. And you'll never convince those naysayers. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You can throw as much science and as much reason as you like. They will not believe it, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as the people who can make decisions and who can head things in the right way are the ones that are in place making those decisions. So if the naysayers were all sat at the top of government and there was no climate emergency, then it would matter. But actually, we're beyond that now. They are a small minority, and their views are important to them. Are they important to which direction we're heading? No, because the decision makers are taking it the right way.
And just to very quickly add on to that, I mean, I'm a great believer in the power of positivity, and a big part of UNESCO's Man in the Biosphere programme is local solutions to global problems. And so globally, we can see all these disasters happening around us. But actually, if you look into a really small place like the Isle of Man, we have all of these really, really positive and actually far-reaching community initiatives, like Look at the Pier. And so we can adopt that, and we have a really good relationship with the rest of the UNESCO Biosphere Reserves. We actually have UNESCO visitors arriving in the island today and tomorrow. And this is the kind of network that we can really kind of share our knowledge and our experience and our projects and initiatives. And we often say it's not the people who are in the biosphere team, it's everyone in the island and everything that they're doing that makes the biosphere the biosphere. And the awards is a really good way of positively showcasing all of that.
And did you notice Captain McKenzie coming off the back of COVID? Because I was thinking again that that did seem to make a change for a lot of people in the way they thought about how they lived. Did they sort of appreciate what they or what we had here more? So thought about things like the Queen's Pier project, of course.
Yes, I think that's probably true. We were very lucky on that project because we were only stopped working for about 3 or 4 weeks because we were working outside and were able to do the distancing very easily. We were allowed to continue with the work. What the effect of the increase in material costs has brought to the fore the fact that every penny is so important. The cost of steel since phase one, where we, which the film was about, it's now almost 100% greater as we're going forward. And this is not pennies we're talking about, it's pounds. And a bay is now costing something like 58,000 pounds for the steel alone, not for the wood, just for the steel. Yeah. And I think that people have recognised that this is a major project which they are willing to get behind, and that's good.
Exactly.
What worries me is that the people in the position of making the decisions, have they really come round from the fact that 10 or so years ago they were trying to demolish the pier? And I never want to see that happen again.
Change your mindset on that one, Michelle?
Well, I wasn't in government 10 years ago. but I've been a supporter of the pier for years. I think there is a really careful balance to be struck, isn't there, between what we conserve and what we don't. But actually recognising the value of things like the pier and recognising its importance historically. And you can look around the coast of the UK at how piers have declined over the years. And I think the fact that the community came together to give it the chance to be saved is just such a testament to what it means, to not just to the people in Ramsey, but and the whole island.
And I think, again, just touching on that sort of aspect of how I think society was changed post-COVID in many ways, and particularly things like the blue tits, again, people made a massive difference, something like that for them. I think people did start thinking about more about what they can do to actually help themselves to live and how they live their lives. Did you see a big change there?
Yes, definitely. I think that when blue tits were started, it was the December, Manx Blue Tits started the December after we had the first lockdown, the long lockdown. And I think our really rapid growth with 2.7 thousand Manx Blue Tits now. And I think the rapid growth has to do with, you know, what we experienced through COVID and people wanting to be outside more and wanting to engage with the environment more, be in nature. It's all so important, isn't it? And I don't think we realised how important it was until we couldn't really do it for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And education-wise, you notice that as well, Aileen, coming in. Do you think sort of children have got a sort of different mindset these days or compared to, I don't know, sort of pre-COVID perhaps?
Well, in education, I think the COVID effect is probably slightly different in that, well, we all really value being together in a room to learn or being together in the same environment to learn and how important it is to see the people you're talking to face to face. And we see how it's affected children's education, missing out the, you know, the children who are in reception year one when they couldn't go to school. We see that effect on them now. Yeah, I'm not sure about their appreciation of the biosphere so much with children. That's probably not on a teacher's mind as much, but certainly the wild swimming I've noticed. I used to be the only person I knew who went to the sea. Now yes, everybody I know does.
By the way, we welcome the swimmers.
Excellent.
Around the pier.
Always very
when
lucky.
We see them swimming in the rather cold water and think they're probably mad, we are encouraged
in a nice way
that we can keep working in the wind and the rain. If they can swim in that, we can carry on.
That's lovely.
Absolutely. I'm aware that people have got a busy day and busy schedules today, so we could talk on this subject for a long, long time. It is such a fascinating subject with so many different strands to it. Just quickly, I was just going to go back down to Zurich at the end. Have you noticed a sort of change over the years? You've been involved with people, again, within the work environment, within a sort of more corporate environment. You know, thinking it's very easy to think, yes, they wouldn't really care about this, but I think we've been hearing clearly people do. And has there been a sort of a sea change, do you think, or a gradual shift?
I think since COVID, we've been able to introduce like hybrid working models and stuff like that, so people can work from home. We know it works. You know, during COVID, globally, Zurich had 2 great years, you know, so we know that people can work from home and it works. People prefer generally to be with people, though. So, as you've already said, you know, that sort of interaction is key to great team spirit, well-being, all of these different things. So there's been a shift, I think, in the way people are working generally. But that, from my point of view, that's changed the way I look about how I have to manage my building. So we're looking at, you know, what are people doing when they're working from home? What are they coming into work to do? You know, what's the sort of the age group of the people that are actually coming into work? Who is working from home more? So is it the people that, you know, have got an office set up at home? It's easier for them rather than maybe somebody younger that's having to sit on a couch with a laptop. So it's looking at that, and it's driving us to look at how we manage our building more sustainably. So not just electric and reducing CO2 and having solar panels, but we're installing sort of occupancy sensors, under desk sensors, so we know who's in real time, what time they're coming and what time they're going. There's going to be temperature sensors, CO2 sensors, all of these different things. So we can manage the building and create the best environment. And that's driving that element. So I think there's definitely a shift change there. But I think it's a subtle one in a way, because people do, there's still a desire to be in the office building, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Here we are now. We're already in March 2024, so I'm sure you're already involved in more projects. I know very busy today. So just finally, I'll just say, are we all people around the table? Are we all be continuing our engagement with both the biosphere as a whole and as a concept, and with more schemes coming up for the 2024 awards, which will be upon us before we know it in October again, I think. We'll all be getting engaged and carrying on.
Yes, as I said earlier, the How Wild Is Your Land survey was inspirational for us, so connectivity is our big thing this year.
Lynn?
I'll certainly be carrying on swimming, and I know lots of other people will too. What I'd just like to say is I'd just like to reinforce the fact that it's not just ladies of a certain age. It can be anybody, everybody. Totally, totally inclusive. Age, ability, gender, everything is you know, just nothing is out of bounds at all. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to commit to anything. All you really need to do is sign up to the Facebook page. Not even sign up, just follow the Facebook page and you'll see where the swims are. If you don't even fancy swimming but you need social contact, just come down, join us for a cup of tea afterwards. Bring a flask. There's usually cake. You know, that can help people just as much.
Absolutely.
There'll be no pressure to swim if you don't want to.
There's a cake club. You see, I didn't realise there was cake.
Always cake.
Had I known, I'm with Howard. I think you're mad jumping in. It's not enough cake for me. I put all my scuba kit on before I'm getting in the sea. But if there's cake.
Definitely come for cake. Often homemade as well.
Jason, you're going for the hat trick?
Oh, well, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, there's so much more to do. We grey water harvest on site, we recycle, we reuse, we've got solar panels, we've got energy reduction strategies in place, we're doing the Internet of Things to make the building more sustainable and all of these different things. But there's feasibilities into photovoltaic storage, so battery walls that we're looking at doing now. So the feasibility studies on those are pretty much complete and we're driving that forward. And then that's probably for this year. Hopefully next year we'll get some answers at the latest on that. But then more renewable power, more rewilding, more tree planting of it, similar to you know, other people that what they're doing. So there's lots to do. So we'll definitely be there at the forefront. Yes.
And Greg, new name, resilience, I suppose that might say a lot in many ways.
It does, and I think the focus for us this year is around the engaging with clients and assessing sustainability preferences, acknowledging that not everyone is as obsessed with climate and biodiversity as we might be, and that for some it might be the social impact piece that's really important. So I think that's maybe been a blind spot for some in the investment community that are really passionate about sustainability. So it's trying to bring the people into the planet piece. I think that's one of our challenges for this year. And then just helping clients see that they can do something. If they want to make a difference, they can. Maybe they're already doing lots themselves in the community and helping in terms of circular economy here, but haven't thought about the impact of their portfolios. I think that's the next step for us, of just being able to take it a little bit further.
And finally, Captain Stuart McKenzie, it's I suppose, as you say, it's the battle goes on, and it's keeping it in the public eye there, keeping that engagement with the community, and we'll get there.
Yes, I think the point is, from our point of view, that we are close to Bay 9. Now, Bay 9 is a significant milestone because it's the first wide bay, which is a stability bay, and it's different from the other ones that we've gone up to then. So once we get over that, we're then on to a big run of 9 up to the next stability bay, and that's your phase 3. And I'd very much like to see that start by the end of the year.
And it'll be wonderful. I think people really appreciating an iconic structure in our environment. As I say, we could talk much more, but I think for now I'd just like to say thank you very much to everyone around the table for joining us again today for this chat about the Isle of Man Biosphere, the awards for last year. There'll be schemes underway as we speak for 2024, no doubt. So thank you very much again, once again, for coming. And I look forward to perhaps speaking to some of you again next year. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.